Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Choosing a Company to Work For, our continuing series, Chapter 3, Considering Industry Stability. Here we go. Okay, so we're doing a series on how to choose a company, and we're going through a series of stuff, and this week it's about how to choose a company based on the industry they're in and considering the stability associated with that. And I have a great story, by the way. I have a world-class story for this one. So I've been looking forward to doing this one. So what are we going to talk about?
So we're going to talk about finding out how stable your industry is, first of all, and then deciding what you need to do, deciding what you're going to do about the information that you've just gathered, and then remind you to use it when you're considering at least your next two moves. You don't only want to be thinking one move ahead as far as industry goes, because it's such a big part of a job and how well that job lasts and how well your career goes. Industry plays a big role and the economics of the industry. So
okay.
We want you to take a long-term view.
Yeah, okay. So I suspect there are going to be some people who say, well, I don't really know how stable my industry is. In fact, things happen. I think the majority of people, maybe not so much managers, but I think a lot of individual contributors and younger people, no offense, younger people, think of events happening to them and don't realize that they're probably, those events are essentially the tip of the whip of the industry that they're in. And they not only don't know how stable the industry is, but they also don't know how to find out how stable it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So surely Google's involved somehow, but give us the basic recommendations.
Okay. So basically you just want to Google the industry name. And there's kind of two parts to a job. There's the specialism. I'm in IT, I'm in HR, I'm in finance. And that does have, you can do the same for that specialism that right. We're going to do now for industry.
But the point you're making is industry is not software development.
Exactly.
Industry is not mechanical engineering. Industry is the competitive environment that your company is in.
Exactly. So right? It's medical
what the company makes. Yes.
Yeah. Or retail or
yes.
Paper products.
Or retail apparel versus retail technology.
Or food.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So we want you to be thinking about what your company does, not what you do.
Right.
When you're trying to decide what your industry is. And you can just Google, like, literally the name of the industry. So I have been watching loggers. I think I've been watching swamp loggers, so I'm slightly obsessed with the paper industry right now.
Oh, dear. Folks, you should know that when you just said that, and last week, for those of you who are licensees, you would know this, but if you're not a licensee, you don't get my weekly email that goes out to all of our licensees, which said that I had read a statistic which says people who watch TV are 20% less happy than people who don't. And so I then turned that on its head and did something that data-wise is not, mathematically-wise, not correct. And I said, well, maybe if you watch 20% less TV, or if you watch less TV, you'd be 20% happier. And then there's the whole issue of what she's talking about watching. Nevertheless. Okay,
but
continue.
I also managed to read 3 or 4 books a week.
So yes, that's fair
I
enough.
Feel good
okay.
about, I
yeah,
feel good
you're,
about
you're
it.
You're inoculated, full inoculation. Fair enough.
So I Googled paper industry, and on the first search, there were two magazines, a Bloomberg article about what's going on with paper. There were 4 industry associations. And so there was plenty of information, plenty of, you know, sources of information about the paper industry.
Right. But to be fair, you're talking about it from the standpoint of Googling the industry name. But I want to go back before we go any further because I have a question about that. But first I'll say that, guys, if you don't understand this, let's be clear. If somebody says to you, what industry are you in? And you say software because you write code, but you write software for a hospital. And they know, or later you say, well, we're doing this for the nurses. And they say, what nurses? And you say, well, you know, I work for Kaiser Permanente. As an example, I'm in California recording this, so I think of Kaiser. And the more senior person you've talked to them says, my Lord, this person told me they were in the software industry. And they don't realize they're in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. And they happen to be, their career or their skill or their specialism is software. So let's be clear about that. You need to make a distinction between those two things. Okay, but the question I have now, though, Wendy, is you're saying, okay, Google paper industry, but there are people who don't know how to figure out what industry they're in, right? I mean, we're making an assumption there.
We are.
Right.
Okay, so how would you work?
Well, it's easy. Well, of course, I'm stealing your thunder here, but it's easy. Look, if you don't know, go to your company's homepage and go to About Us. That's one place. Mm-hmm. If you're big enough to be a Fortune 1000 company, go to just Google Fortune 1000. Or if you're not big enough, I'll give you another suggestion in just a second, and go find your company in the list. And they're all organized by industry and by sub-industry as well. And it'll tell you. And there are periodically changes. If you're in a really big company, the fact that you're in the Dow Jones, there's a list of the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the NASDAQ, and it'll tell you they have subcategories because they try to keep it weighted based on the market. And you can then find out that way. If you're not a Fortune 1000 company, go to Fortune 1000 and find the big companies in your industry. They're in there, and they'll all be listed under one industry. So there's either you know the industry, which in which case Wendy's saying, here, you can find out a great deal more about it, or secondly, if you don't know, you can infer it from either your company's categorization based on what your company says, or based on what your competitor's industry is, the ones that are big enough to draw the attention such that they are categorized.
Okay, so when I looked at those pages, or some of those pages, one of the industry associations had forecasts and analysis split by location and paper type and related products, because there's all sorts of related products when you chop up trees. You had to pay money to get those reports, but you're making a critical decision about your future. So why wouldn't you invest? When recycling became really cool in the 80s, I remember, everybody was, all of a sudden, we all started recycling paper, and the bottom absolutely fell out of the paper market because there was so much availability of recycled paper that it was pennies as opposed to being really expensive. Now, if that's about to happen to your industry, it'll be in these reports.
Yep.
And you need to know that.
Yeah, I'm consistently surprised by the number of people who leaf through industry magazines when they're going to interview within their industry, hypothetically, of course, with a competitor. And you say, well, what did you think? And they say, well, I've never seen it before. You're like, really? This is your industry? And I think it's because if you're younger folks, you tend to identify with your specialty, right? With your specialism. Mm-hmm. And you need both the specialty, which we'll talk about in some other casts, and your industry. And I got to tell you, if you're 25 or 26 and some VP comes down and you ask a question about, hey, what do you think is going to happen about the issue of recycling? And a bunch of people look at you like crazy, and the VP goes, good question. That VP won't forget you. She won't forget you. Because you're clearly thinking more globally than most people between the ages of 20 and even 35, and in some cases even more than that. Okay? All right. Sorry, I keep interrupting. I love this. I love this topic. I would really love, if people would make good choices about where they went to work, better, let's put it this way, better choices about where they went to work, there'd be less friction in the marketplace, and there'd be more productivity. So I'm all for this. Okay?
Okay, and so this was something else that I noticed while I was reading these pages. There was an announcement, like a news thing in the Google News that said, George F. Martin, president and CEO of New Page Corp. Now, I bet nobody listening has ever heard of New Page Corp because it sounds like something out of a TV program. But anyway, was named the winner of the 2013 PIMA Executive of the Year Award. It is PIMA's highest honor and is awarded on senior executives in the pulp, paper, or converting industries for excellence in management and outstanding contributions to the industry as a whole. Now, if you're interested in the paper industry and there's an executive who's that good at this company, I'd be looking at that company to work at there.
To be fair, though, generally, an executive who gets that award has either A, finished his or her tenure as the president or chair of the industry council that lobbies or essentially keeps the industry in the news, or his or her company has, in this case, has done an exceptional job. And in its inference, it's not that necessarily George is fabulous, although he may in fact be, and it's not as if it's unrelated, but it's probably because his company profit triple or quadruple. That said, generally speaking, when a company gets an award like that, and it's a singular award as opposed to there were 35 people recognized at an industry conference, it's a good sign that probably the company's doing well, and therefore a good sign that there may be opportunities there.
So we don't want to take one source as gospel. Like,
right.
Like I wouldn't go work at New Page Corp just because George was apparently amazing. You'd want to do some other research into how well are they doing? What other rumors are there about them? You know, well, can you find someone in your network who works there? That kind of stuff.
Can I mention one more thing? Something mm-hmm. I've always done with this. I alluded to it earlier with, you know, paying attention to your bigger competitors who may have been categorized if you don't know what industry you're in or going to your homepage. But I got to tell you something, guys. You should have a list of all your competitors. And one way to do that is type in your company name and type in competition,
mm-hmm.
right? Or competitor or industry and see what you get. And probably within 15 minutes, and I envy those of you who are young enough not to have lived before this was possible, when you had to pay for the Fortune 500 list on floppy disks, on 3.5-inch floppy disks, and then go into floppy disk swap hell. But to be able to do that, you should keep a list. And those companies, in terms of staying in touch with what's going on in your industry, you should have Google searches for them. You should have RSS feeds associated with what's going on. If for no other reason, then once a quarter, unless you're in a really, really small industry or you're in a really, really small company, at least your big competitors will put out earnings reports. And they all tend to come out around roughly the same time. Certainly, you may be at a private company, but your competitors, how they're doing, you can see whether or not they go up or down. And probably, if you can do that, you can find a chart somewhere on the web, gosh, at Yahoo Finance or Google Finance or something, or at any one of the investment companies' stock trackers, or if you're a Wall Street Journal subscriber, like we've recommended a bunch of times, you can go find and track 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 companies. In fact, one of the most annoying things about the Wall Street Journal lately, for me, it's not just lately, is all the articles, every time they mention a company, I think the first time they mention a company, right after it is a little red or green small icon in line with the text telling you whether a stock went up or down. And I'm not really terribly interested in the stock, but if you click on that, I'm sure it'll take you to a thing. Look, iPhones, and I'm sure Android and BlackBerry as well have it. They all have an app, right, that you can mm-hmm. follow all of the companies in your industry. And look, if all of the companies in your industry are becoming less profitable, you should pay attention to that, right?
Yeah.
And if your company is becoming less profitable, guys, but you don't know that your industry is also becoming less profitable, then you may overreact to that. You may be worried about that. Oh, wait, we're going to go through layoffs. Well, in fact, almost everybody is talking about layoffs potentially in your industry. Then the question becomes, if you don't know that, you don't know whether you're doing relatively better than your competition. And the danger of this is if you don't know how your industry is doing, guys, you may very well fall prey to one of the long wave negatives of career searching, which is always leaving your industry before it goes through a downturn. But then you suddenly get 15 to 20 years in your career and somebody, some executive recruiter notices, this guy, this gal has never been through a downturn. Wow, that's not good. They're not gonna be staying very long. And you have to be aware of that. You need to be situationally aware, and that means knowing who your competitors are and tracking how they're doing. Okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. So you covered the bonus of this one, yeah. Which is once you've found those sources of information, don't forget about them. Keep reading them. Keep receiving them so that you stay abreast of what's going on.
Yeah, and there's a blog. Somebody has a blog about your industry.
Yeah.
Now, he may be an idiot, but you can ignore. I'm amazed at the number of people who can't separate fact from somebody's opinion, right? It's like, hey, this guy's got a lot of facts. I disagree with him all the time, but I'm just going to read it for the facts.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Yeah.
There's plenty of people. You don't have to like them. You just have to hear them.
Yeah, I actually have a really not professional term for it. It's called second harvest. And those of you who've read history of Western America, you'll understand why that's not the most professional reference. But I do it all the time. I look at a blogger, and I don't particularly care for the blogger. I don't agree with his or her point of view. But if they've got a lot of facts, if they know a lot of people, I'm not interested in what they think. I'm interested in what they know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so next thing we need to do, okay, we got all this information. What do we do with it? Well, how do we decide what to do with it?
It's really hard for us to give anything specific here because it depends so much about where you are in your career, where you are in your family life, what the industry prospects are, and a whole bunch of other things. So when we get to the end of this series and we have the all of the different chapters, and we're going to try and weight some of these, some of the things that we've talked about, industry might be something that you weight lower than somebody else. Somebody who's at the beginning of their career might weight it higher because they're going to be in that industry for a long time. And what that industry is going to do for the next 30 years is important to them. If you're at the end of your career and you've only got 5 more years and the industry is going to be fine for the next 10 years, it's not going to do very much, but it's going to be there, then industry probably isn't something that you'll weight highly.
Right.
So it's very dependent on
where you are
right. and what you're looking for.
Right.
The other thing that you might want to consider is if you're mid-career, so you're in sort of 20 years in, maybe, and you think that you're going to want to change, you probably want to do it sooner rather than later, because you don't want to, one, you don't want your resume to only have one industry and then really struggle to get jobs or to get interviews in that second industry. And two, you don't want to be too ingrained in, you know, once you've been in one place for a while, you kind of get those ruts and those group thinks going. And so changing industry gets harder. And so if it's going to disappear in the next 10 years and you've got 20 years to go, think about moving sooner rather than later.
Yeah, here's my story. My good friend, John Hoffman, who's the CEO of a company in Silicon Valley and formerly was the COO, I think two in a box, for Applied Materials. John and I went to school together at the Academy. John has the best officer efficiency reports of any officer I've ever met in the entire United States Army. And as a recruiter, I saw thousands, tens of thousands of officer efficiency reports and performance reports and so on. And John is an exceptional guy, was my first client. And when John interviewed years ago, this was, I think, 1989 or 1990, there's no reason to believe that John is technically smart enough to understand the level of complexity of wafer fab production equipment, which is what Applied Materials did. And he was interviewing with a number of companies, all of whom were very interested in him. And he ended up going to work at Applied. And when I asked him why, he says, look, he says, I'm a people guy. And he says, but you'd have to be crazy to think that in the next, that all I need to do is pick the right industry for the next 30 years, right? He says, and he says, right now, how could you not be in the wafer business? Right? How could you not be in something closely related to the boom that's going to happen in consumer electronics and computer electronics and the general technology boom that's happening, right? Now, you guys, many of you may say, well, gee, I don't know what that is right now, but you could probably figure it out. There are people who would tell you that it's healthcare right now and education. I would argue differently than that. But John chose a company that other people wouldn't have, and John did not do well in his technical classes, never thought of himself as an engineer, but nevertheless, his skills were brilliant when it comes to people and leadership. But he made a choice based on what he knew that industry would do for the next 30 years. He didn't make a choice saying, I want to be an Applied guy. He ended up going to work at Applied, but he wasn't saying, I'm going to spend the rest of my career at Applied. He said, I'm smart enough to abstract this up one level and make a decision based on industry. Because he wanted to stay, provided Applied took care of him, provided he delivered results, which he did in spades. You know, I'll be happy to continue to grow at one company. And in fact, he made a great choice. And I think far too many people say, oh, I want to go to that company. They're cool. Well, cool fades, guys. But industries tend to have a longer wave, tend to be less volatile than any one company in the industry. So keep that in mind. And this is a recommendation for those of you who are younger or who maybe have 3 or 4 years in but are thinking, okay, I don't like my company. Ask yourself, when you say, I'm not sure I'm happy in my role, ask yourself about the future of your company. You may have to do some financial research about that. And then ask yourself about the future of your industry. And that will help you in much the same way that Wendy says, it's a different decision when you're 10 years away from the end of your career than it is at the beginning. That's how to think about it at the beginning. Don't make decisions only on the company.
So far, all of the industries we've mentioned are, none of them are, would include Apple, Google, or Nike.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more to do than there is. There's a lot more opportunity than those three companies.
And if you guys don't, if you've not heard us before, we joke a little bit about companies that are very well regarded, Google, Microsoft, Apple, and so on. And the reason they're well regarded is because they're business to consumer companies. They sell things to you and I. Many of you probably have never heard of Applied Materials because it's a B2B company. They sell million-dollar pieces of equipment, physical vapor deposition, chemical vapor deposition equipment that goes inside chip fabs to build chips that go into Apple and Google and Microsoft and Intel and all those other products. And far too many of us go into our career search thinking there are only consumer product companies, when in fact that's not true. And the other piece of this is private companies as well. People don't realize that there are companies that are very, very successful and private, and they like being private, but if they're a B2B and they're private, almost no one lists them at the top of their list, but it's only a function of what people know rather than what research has shown them, okay? All right, so, and then you said the last thing, which I thought was good, and this is the Hoffman story specifically. You want to be thinking about this stuff when you're considering at least your next two moves.
Yeah. Everybody's career has a different rhythm, and you might be the kind of person that changes jobs every 18 months to 2 years. You might be the kind of person who changes jobs or companies every 10 years, and neither of those is bad, and nor are any of the iterations in between. It's just everybody has a different rhythm. But whatever rhythm you have, you don't want to be thinking, okay, well, my industry is okay for the next 5 years, so my next job, I'll be fine. Because when you get to, you know, if you're a three-year person, you get to 3 years in, your industry's only got 2 years to live, and all of a sudden, everybody is trying to get out of that industry, and so are you. Whereas if you'd have made the first job move that was kind of sideways out of your industry or maybe to a related industry, and then the next move could have been into something completely different, and you'd have been there ahead of everybody else. So you want to be thinking not just about this move right now, but longer term. Okay, what am I going to do next? Where's my best opportunities? And nobody can predict the future, and it doesn't matter how much reading you do, you're never going to know precisely
right
what's going to happen. But if you don't have a plan, you don't have a plan, right? And
right.
And things happen to you, so.
Right.
I used the example of a couple of my friends who are both in recruiting. One of my friends was an IT recruiter, and she got fed up with recruiting, and she knew all this IT stuff from talking to the IT guys that she recruited. And so she knew which the hot skills were in IT. And so she went and did a couple of courses, and now she's a programmer.
Genius.
Because, yeah, and recruiting isn't going anywhere. Recruiting is changing, but it's not really going anywhere. But the reason that she changed was just because she was fed up, but it was possible. Another friend of mine had the same feeling. Recruiting is one of those jobs that kind of burns people out after a while. But she went to resource planning, which is how many people do we need to keep our company going for the next 5-10 years and get our strategic plan achieved. So it's a more HR role. But again, she worked in the department where the resource planners were. So she talked to them, she found out what their skills were, and she started to develop them, knowing that she wanted to get out of recruiting. And both of them, it took like 2 or 3 years, but because they had a plan, they got what they wanted.
Right. And in this case, they were choosing specialties, but they were getting out of the recruiting industry, and that was a way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Smart. Yeah. They were thinking a little bit bigger picture than most people do. I think most people, it's been my experience, folks, you may be different, you know, your mileage may vary, but most people tend to go along just fine, and then suddenly there's a disconnect. And the choice they make, when I ask people why to choose what you chose, rarely is there any strategic thinking verbalized. It may be there, but I don't hear it. And if I ask 100 people and I never hear it, then I'm thinking people aren't thinking it. And that's why John Hoffman is so successful. He knew when he was starting his professional career after a few years in the Army, he knew that I need to make a longer wave decision. And he chose, he said, I'm going to pick an industry. And it happens to be that I'm interviewing with Applied Materials, who was a great, you know, was a great leader in the industry. But he was smart enough to go, I'm not only picking Applied. Yeah. Okay, so you want to wrap us up?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing is to find out how stable your industry is. The next thing to do is decide what you need to do based on your circumstances. And then lastly, use that knowledge to consider your at least your next two moves, if not more, if you're younger.
Yeah, it's possible that you got into an industry by accident, right? You had a friend there and it was a job. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And maybe right now, in light of the downturn the industry, the world has been in, many industries have been in a downturn. Very few have been doing exceptionally well. That you're in a position that's not ideal for you. And that will be okay, by the way, guys. You can get away with that right now because people will be understanding of the fact that you maybe took a little bit of a sidestep, as Winnie mentioned earlier. But you don't have to continue to be driven just by fate. Work on the information you have. Start paying attention. Don't try to make a decision in a week. Steep yourself in it. Read your, use an RSS feed to pay attention to this stuff for a period of 3 or 4 months so you can start thinking more broadly. As a professional, you're responsible for your career. And part of your career is making good strategic choices or making good choices that have a strategic component rather than just, I like this other company or it's a shorter commute. And you're going to make better decisions when you have better information. Hopefully, you don't have to make a decision right now, but start gathering your information now. And with technology the way it is, and with apps and with RSS feeds and so on, gee whiz.
So easy.
Yeah. Don't try to get smart overnight. Just start reading. And if you don't understand something, that's okay, because 3 months from now, you'll have read it 5 times, and then you'll have enough context to understand what that earlier point meant. And that will help you become much more knowledgeable. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Hope that was helpful, folks. A lot of people don't think about the industry they're going to work for, and it makes a difference. Keep it in mind. If you have questions, come to the forums, manager-tools.com/forums. See you there.